Now welcome on to the call, the head coach of the Towson Tigers, Rob Ambrose. Good afternoon, Rob.
Afternoon.
Your team battled awful well against unbeaten Delaware, but come up a little short, 24-10, as you've gone back and looked at the tape. Just give me your impressions on the game.
I was encouraged by a lot of different things coming out of the New Hampshire game, the way we responded just as a team in general. Need to start a little bit faster. I don't think anybody in America, you know, it's a bettor's world, right? College football, nobody would have bet that after our stats, we would end up scoring first against Delaware at home in their stadium on Parents Weekend or whatever the heck it was. So also amazing that we played in a hurricane without getting wet. That was kind of fun. It's a new experience for me because the hurricane wetness is not my favorite. But really, really encouraged how we played up front defensively. We put pressure on the quarterback legitimately for the first time that all season, and we did it consistently with a number of different guys. We just totally raised the standard of how we're playing up front defensively. We played pretty well versus a run, gave up one big run play, but you know, on the whole, the things we did in this game versus probably the best competition we placed at this level this year, it's encouraging moving forward.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You guys are up 3-0 and really had, like you said, kind of gotten after them pretty well. And the big run play and then the play on the sideline on the pass play, how much did that take some momentum away?
I mean, it took some of the momentum away. They got 14 points in a span of like 30-some seconds.
Yeah.
But it didn't change how we played for the rest of the game. We kept getting after Nolan, who's, you know, once again, one more great CAA quarterback and, you know, with a dynamic offense. We just kept getting after him. He kept playing. We kept playing. And then eventually they told us we couldn't play anymore. But, I mean, you know, we're getting down to the end of the game and they're driving again just like they always do. And our guys were pretty relentless getting after him and making a big play. And it's amazing when 11 guys do exactly what they're supposed to do. It's pretty fun.
I know before the game, getting pressure on the quarterback was what you thought was a big key. And that's something that maybe you hadn't done as much of in past weeks. What was the big change? And it sounds like you feel like it's something that you might be able to do going forward.
That was something that I thought we'd been able to do from the very beginning, but some of us just got motivated and found a different motor. And there was a degree of relentlessness in our pursuit that had not shown up in the previous weeks. And the guys just got tired of not living up to their potential. And, you know, I lied. I was kind of rooting for the hurricane, hoping that was going to give Nolan more difficulty in the pass game and that maybe we would just have to shut down a run game. But he did a great job against us. Ryan did a great job. That, you know, defensively, Manny did a great job. He had those guys dialed up on our offense about as good as I've seen it. And I've coached a lot of games in that stadium against that team, and that was a pretty great effort on their part.
Question this afternoon from Kyle Kendon. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hi, Coach. I wanted to ask about Vinny Schaefer. Another good quality game from him, and it seems like he's been kind of doing this week after week. What has Vinny been able to do to kind of stack these performances, you know, so far this season?
Well, I think this has been a growing process for years. Vinny wasn't ever, you know, no matter what kind of success he ever had here, he wasn't going anywhere. He's a local guy, played local high school football, was very, very impressive, but was too short. Nobody really wanted him, and we gave him a chance, and he's done nothing but work his face off, both on and off the field. There's a reason why he's a captain. He's gotten better in everything he's done since he was 18 years old. And, you know, with COVID and everything, it's kind of cool because I think I've been coaching him. You know, he's like 38, 39 now. So a lot of good time, a lot of good years together. So I honestly, what you see out of him, I'm impressed with, but I expect to see more as the season progresses.
And then in terms of having touchdowns now in all three phases, how much of a building block is that, you know, when you've got the special teams and the defensive touchdowns?
When you can put three phases of aggressive point scoring, when you're talking to the defending team that's supposed to defend from point scoring, if you can score defensively, if you can score on special teams, you can score on offense on a consistent basis, the growth of your program multiplies by 10. It's a culture thing that everybody expects to be successful and that we all want to put points on the board. And to be honest, watching that play, if you're a defensive player and you're watching our film, you can't be more excited about playing on our defense.
Maybe talk about that play, Rob. How he aired not only the 7 tackles in the game, but just sort of took the ball away on that 97-yard play. Just talk about that play and his effort at that point in the game.
Oh, is actually, you're going to say that's a culmination of just him getting better. If you go earlier in the game, he in his great hands, he dropped a pick right in his hands on their sidelines with great technique, great eyes, great break on the ball. He knew he knew what was coming and knew how to D it up. So that play itself lends itself to him having the great degree of confidence at the end of the game. He knows who he's got to have, who he's got to play, what kind of leverage he's got to play, how to play hands through the ball, and then played more. How hot is it when you hear your corner played more physical than their tight end? That's pretty impressive. And then watching the rest of the defense, watching us block the intended receiver, block the corner, like it, and that's probably like a textbook teach tape on that singular play. Pretty impressive.
You talked about Manny's defense. You guys weren't the first team this year that they've held down. What makes that group so good, and what makes it so hard to move the ball against them?
Well, I think they're strong up front. They're veteran in the backfield, and they're veteran in the back seven with players who know that scheme like the back of their hand. You have a head coaching change, but you don't have a defensive schematic change. They're only going to keep getting better. They trade out some guys, and clearly they have talented personnel, but how they play their scheme, if you go back and watch the number of mistakes that they make based on what their play call was, it's very limited. And to be honest, in this game, once things are equal, it's pretty much about mental mistakes and turnovers. And they're not making a lot of mental mistakes on defense. They fly around to the ball, and they're technically sound. High five to the defensive coordinator. That's exactly what you want out of your defense.
Offensively, Joakim Banga had his first sort of extended playing time for you, transfer from Kent State, 53 yards. Talk about what he brings to your team, and how did you feel like he played Saturday?
He played exactly like I thought he would play the first time he would have extended playing time. And that I wish that would have happened in the Bucknell game and not the Delaware game. Because if I push myself four to five games down the road, I'm going to be really excited about what he is then. I just wish his starting line started sooner. He's got a high skill set. He runs strong. He runs smart. And he's got some physicality. He's kind of hard to tackle. I'm not giving him Darius Victor or Terrence West status, but he gets to be in the conversation because he has that ability. It showed up a little bit on Saturday. And I think if you watch the film, you're going to see it show up week after week, a little bit more and a little bit more.
Your team heads to an Elon team that is playing as well as anybody in the league right now. As you've started to break them down a little bit, why are they playing so well, and what are some of the challenges that they present?
Well, they're putting points on the board. They move the ball offensively with a talented quarterback and a lot of skilled players. But the run game shows up exactly when they need it. They're dumping 30 on you no matter who you play, at least, and they're playing really, really good defense. There's a lot of veteran players. There's a lot of all-conference players on both sides of the ball. Let's face it, Tony's a really good football coach. So they win a big game on the road at William & Mary is a confidence builder. And then winning double overtime against at home is even more so. So, he's got these guys believing. They're playing really, really good football right now. We'll have our hands full.
As you've looked at their quarterback, Matthew McKay, he certainly made a huge impact for them. What do you like about what he's able to do for them?
He puts the ball where it needs to be when it needs to be there. And pretty much while he's talented, his decision-making skills, as a quarterback, there's an old saying that you can't win football games until you learn how to not lose them. The ball's in your hand every single play. And if you don't have that kind of mentality and you're careless and reckless, that's a dangerous thing. His touchdown to interception ratio is impressive, and he puts the ball where it needs to be. He's running the other 10 the way it should be run.
Got a follow-up from Kyle. Go ahead, Kyle.
Coach, Mike London just mentioned the history lesson. You mentioned Tony, and there's another guy who, spent time with Andy Talley and Coach Mack, and, last week with Ryan Carty, who'd been with Coach Mack and obviously played in the CAA. How do you feel like this familiarity, even as new head coaches kind of cycle in, has contributed to maybe the identity of the league where it is now?
Well, I think that the history of the league has created good coaches, good players, good players who end up becoming good coaches. Go up to New Hampshire. Everybody's a player there. I think the quality of ball all around in any aspect is what you're seeing is the result of that over decades worth of time, that there's just been great coaches who have mentored great young coaches who ended up growing up and filling their shoes. And you watch good football players become great football players. And some of those guys end up coaching. I couldn't speak more highly of this league if I tried. And the good part about it is if a coach who's coached in this league ends up going to another team in this league, the time for a turnaround for that job is less. because of the internal knowledge that this individual would have over years within the league, knowing what the culture is at other individual universities, who the players are, what the strengths and weaknesses are. I was so far removed when I came back from UConn. It took me a year just to figure out what the zero level is, what's ground floor. You know, I didn't grow up in this league. I grew up watching it, and I'm thoroughly impressed by it. I got a lot of friends that coached in it. But it's if you look at the history of our league, our history, our entire history, it's pretty impressive.
All right, Rob. Thanks as always for the time this afternoon. Safe travels to Elon, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.